Will the Lord be with you? Jesus' closest followers had received some troubling news. One of them would betray Jesus. Peter, the most fervent among them, would deny Jesus three times before morning. And Jesus was going to go away where they could not find him. It was an ominous way of saying he was going to die. The disciples seemed to be in a state of shock, confusion, and disbelief. Jesus is preparing them for lament, saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Now, Jesus knows about feeling troubled. In fact, John has used this very word that gets translated, troubled, already in his telling of the Jesus story. It wasn't long before this, when Jesus arrived in the town of Bethany, 3 days after his friend Lazarus had died. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, who had hosted Jesus previously. And when he came upon the village and saw how devastated the people were at Lazarus' death, John says that he was troubled. Some translations say he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Others say that he was angered or outraged. One could rightly translate this, he lamented. Jesus saw the devastation that death has on a community, and he lamented. He wept, John writes. And when he reached the city of Jerusalem, where he would give up his life, he lamented at the sin of his own people. He wept, Luke writes, grieving over the way that his people had continually turned their back on God. Jesus knew lament. And here in the cozy room where he shared his last meal with his closest disciples and companions, and foretold his departure from them, he comforts them by saying, "Let your hearts not lament. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Believe. It's a curious thing, belief. It's curious because it can mean different things. In fact, theologians tend to say there are two facets to belief, the Latin words assensus and fiducia. We always have to have a Latin word for things. Assensus is assent. It's believing objectively in an idea that it is true or real, that it exists. It is cognitive assent. Fiducia is different. It's where we get our word, fiduciary. It means trust. It is putting assensus to the test. There was a famous tightrope walker, Jean-François Gravelet, the great Blondin, who was the first person to tightrope across the Niagara Falls. No thanks. Great crowds of people would gather to watch him do this, and not just walking, but he would put on these theatrical displays as he walked across chaos and danger. As lore has it, one time he pushed a wheelbarrow across the falls, and as he arrived, the crowd swelled up in a chorus, chanting his name. He turned to the crowd and asked, "Do you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across the falls?" And when the crowd shouted its affirmation, he responded, "Well, then who will get into the wheelbarrow?" It is one thing to believe that something exists or that it can be done or that it is true. It is another thing altogether to trust, to put some skin in the game. When Jesus tells his disciples to believe in God and also in him, he is not telling them to believe that God exists. He's telling them to get into the wheelbarrow. Trust God. Trust also in me. And then he says this amazing thing. "My Father's house has plenty of room, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, certainly I will come back to get you." When we think of a house, we tend to think of a structure, a building that someone lives in. But when Jesus talks about his Father's house, he's referring to something much bigger than a building. The Hebrew understanding of the Father's house goes way back. In fact, it goes all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 12, the first verse. "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you.'" You see, in the ancient world, a father's house was first and foremost a kinship group, a clan, a tribe, a family, a community to which a person belonged. Sure, it was most often tied to a place, which was tied to the gods of that place. But it was first and foremost a people. It is the people you take care of and who take care of you. It is your insurance company. It is your healthcare network, your local economy, all the services that are critical to our survival were part of one's father's house. Your father's house was your security and identity. When Jesus tells his disciples then, in their state of confusion and grief, "Do not let your hearts lament. Trust God. Trust me. In my Father's house there is plenty of room. I am going to prepare a place for you and I will come back and get you." He is telling them, "You belong in my Father's house. You belong with me to God, to the Father, to my people and my community." And who is Jesus' community but that brilliant, life-giving, triune community of self-giving love? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ, God has extended an invitation to you. Come into my house. Come, be a part of my house of safety and security, of forgiveness and reconciliation, of love and grace, of friendship and belonging, of healing and renewal. Come, let your sins and hurts be washed away. Come, let your guard down. And trust again. Come, bring the heavy loads you're carrying, and let me take them off your hands. Come, enter my embrace. Lay your weary head on my chest. Feel the warmth. Listen to the rhythm of my heart. And let it gradually become your own. You see, friends, we have reflected on this theme of lament to free us. To free us to be open and honest with God about who we are, what we've been through, and how that has felt. We do not know the fullest life in God unless we come to God exactly and truly as we are, which is, by the way, the person God loves. But lament is not intended to be an end in itself. It is the means. It is not the destination. It is the road. It is the road upon which God moves us, transforms us, converts us from hurt to hope, lifts us from the pit to the mountaintop, raises us from death to resurrection. We lament not to change the mind of a capricious God, but because we trust that our cries are received by one who receives us into the very house, into the very life of God. It is in joining ourselves with Christ that we enter the Father's house. And it is in our Heavenly Father's house that we find our hope and healing. So let us answer God's invitation to come. Let us enter His house and lay our laments at the foot of the throne of grace.